Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
ISU, and welcome to ASISU Speaks. I'll be your guest host for this show. My name is Logan Ramsey, an employee here with KISU, and I'm currently talking to James Parrish, who's doing a doctoral program with the College of Pharmacy here at ISU. And he's also the chapter president for the American Pharmacist Association with the Academy of Student Pharmacy.
It's definitely an alphabet soup, a lot of letters in there for sure. But yeah, it's a sub-organization under the American Pharmacist Association.
Cool. Tell me a little bit about yourself. What made you want to, when did you first start attending ISU?
I started attending ISU when I started the pharmacy program, so 3 years ago, originally from Eastern Idaho in the Rexburg area, but moved over to Boise about 6 years ago, and I currently attend the Meridian campus of Idaho State University.
Nice. How do you like Meridian?
I love Meridian. It was something where I just moved over here to kind of pursue different opportunities. Did my undergrad at Boise State, where I kind of developed a passion for going into the health science field. And so I loved it so much over here that I wanted to stay over here. So I was really happy that ISU had a campus in Meridian.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess more generally speaking, what was it that originally got you interested in pharmacy?
I've always been intrigued by a healthcare field. And, you know, a lot of people in pharmacy say, you know, they really enjoyed chemistry. I did not really enjoy chemistry. I always really enjoyed the concept of medications and how they work and how you can take a pill or a capsule and, you know, have such profound effects on your health and well-being. And so I was always intrigued by that aspect of the healthcare field. So I wanted to go into pharmacy.
Right. How has the last year, like the events of 2020, kind of changed your field?
It's had a pretty profound effect. Obviously, we're doing a high flex model for the College of Pharmacy. So we are still able to attend classes on campus if we choose so, or we can do it distantly over the internet. We were lucky enough to already have a pretty nice setup to transition pretty quickly because we have our 3 campuses, the main campus there in Pocatello, as well as 2 satellite campuses, one here in Meridian. And then we also are associated with the University of Anchorage, Alaska, up in Anchorage. But because we already had classes kind of recorded and used a lot of technology that way, it was a pretty easy transition as far as education goes. For the profession of pharmacy, it's definitely been some interesting challenges. You know, when you go and pick up your prescription at your local, you know, pharmacy, there's a lot of face-to-face interactions and a lot of people, you know, trying to socially distance and stay home. It definitely made some challenges trying to make sure that people get the right education for their medications and things like that.
How do you expect, I guess, like these changes to continue forward? Like, do you think that how is the field going to continue to evolve?
You know, that's something that I find is more of a silver lining with the pandemic. You know, unfortunately, it has changed a lot of people's lives, but, you know, it's something that we were able to identify that there was lack in coverage for different people across the country. And so it's something that we feel like pharmacists can step into that void. You know, being able to be more accessible to patients and be a primary care provider type of thing for them where, you know, they can go to their pharmacy, they can talk to a healthcare professional, get answers for the questions that they have, especially as you see that hospitals and clinics like that become overcrowded with patients with COVID, you know, they had to turn into secondary avenues to try and get their information. And that's something where pharmacists can step into. And then obviously with the advancement with telehealth, where people can communicate like we do now, virtually over platforms like Zoom or WebEx and things like that, it's something that we can expand that into the healthcare field as well.
Right. So as you've been making progress through your doctoral program, what kind of ways are the professors preparing new pharmacists for this in the field?
Yeah. So Idaho State University is a pretty well-known pharmacy program. We've been around for over 100 years now. So we're very well established in the field nationally. We're very well recognized as a school. Like I said, I'm the president of our chapter for American Pharmacists Association, Academy of Student Pharmacists, and we're award-winning. We've won many national awards, won a lot of regional awards as well for the Pacific Northwest. You know, so we're a program that stands out, and the faculty members definitely prepare us in that aspect. They help us a lot coordinate events where we reach out to the community. They're in the cutting edge of pharmacy practice in the country. Idaho's the most progressive state in the country when it comes to allowing pharmacists to practice at the top of their license. And with that ability, you know, the faculty members are able to teach us at that high level compared to maybe other places across the country.
Right. I don't hear very often Idaho's one of the most progressive places in the country in like any sort of topic. Could you elaborate more on that? Like what Idaho does differently that other states don't?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do in Idaho that other states don't is we actually allow pharmacists to prescribe medications. For example, if you have a cold sore and you want to go get a medication for that, you can go to your local pharmacy, talk to your pharmacist, and they can write you a prescription for a cold sore treatment instead of having to go to like a primary care clinic or to a hospital. We can do things, not only cold sores, we can do UTIs, we can do flu tests and then prescribe flu medication for you. It's something that's definitely very, very progressive when it comes to pharmacy that a lot of states don't allow at all. So
why would you say that? So like most of the time it's normal for like a doctor to like make the prescription and so pharmacists wouldn't normally like make that prescription in other states?
Yeah. So it's kind of cutting out a step. We try to treat, you know, very simple things that, you know, for example, with a UTI, they found that like 98% of women can self-diagnose a urinary tract infection. And so, you know, when they go to the doctor, they know they have a urinary tract infection. So the doctor tells them, you have a urinary tract infection, and gives them a prescription. So instead of having to take that time to, you know, make an appointment to go see the doctor, take the doctor's time, you know, go to one location and then turn around and drive to another location to a pharmacy to get your prescription, we're kind of just cutting out that extra step. You know, so it's something that we acknowledge that we have limitations in pharmacy. You know, we're not experts at diagnosing different illnesses and issues. And that's where, you know, we refer to a doctor, but it's something where if it's a simple fix that we know exactly what's going on, we want to be able to step in so that way we can make it easier for patients to get the help they need.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever a risk for medications like painkillers to be like overprescribed?
Yeah. And I mean, we've obviously seen that a lot in the news, like with the opioid epidemic that we have and things like that. And that'd be something, you know, that we leave that up to physicians to be able to diagnose, you know, the pain. And they're the ones that ultimately write the prescriptions for high risk medications, such as, you know, painkillers and things like that. And there is definitely issues across the country. It's well documented. You know, you read all the time in news that there's lawsuits against prescribers, doctors, pharmacies, and things like that. So there's you know, definite evidence of those things happening. But on the other hand, there's also, you know, people who really do need those medications for pain. You know, chronic pain is something that people shouldn't have to live through. And so, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You know, you want to help people and you want to believe them in the pain that they have. You know, you also have to be aware that there's a high abuse potential.
Right. This might be kind of a big question, but I guess in your opinion, how do you think it's the best way to, I guess, address this problem?
You know, it's something that when you receive prescriptions, in general, you're supposed to have an established connection with your healthcare provider. So, you know, you have what we call your primary care physician. You know, when they ask you, like, who's the doctor that you regularly see? You know, hopefully you have that well enough established connection that, you know, a physician can be able to know exactly what you need or what you're talking about. And they can have that trust and, you know, connection developed with their patients. So that way they can identify those situations where, you know, maybe somebody is trying to abuse a medication. And so they can be able to step in and identify those red flags. We also, there's a lot of state programs that can monitor where people pick up prescriptions, what type of prescriptions they get, especially with opioids. and pain medications like that. And so it's something that, you know, when you pick up your prescription at Walgreens for an opioid, they enter in that information into a national and state directory. And so they can see all the times that you've gotten an opioid prescription. So they can see if you're going around to different pharmacies multiple times to pick up multiple prescriptions. That way they can, you know, identify those people and try to prevent that from happening.
Right. Yeah. Do you think that Idaho's like making progress in this regard?
I do know that like statistically we were on the higher end of opioid and painkiller abuse across the country, but we are definitely making strides in that aspect. I do feel like there's a lot of education and awareness that's been going on, a lot of recovery facilities that have opened in the state of Idaho to help people who have addictions so that they can recover. You know, and it's something that we try to, is especially our student organization. We have an organization called Generation RX, where we go around to different schools locally and teach kids about, you know, abusing prescription medications and the risks, and, you know, how to identify, you know, situations and, you know, remove yourself. Like if a friend asks you if you want to take a prescription that's not yours, you know, to get a high or things like that, you know, identifying those situations and
right.
being able to, you know, remove yourself from that or have, you know, resources to be able to help your friends who maybe have an addiction.
Right. Yeah. To move on to maybe a bit more of a lighter line of questioning, what would you say is your favorite part about being going into pharmacy?
I really enjoy, you know, helping people. Obviously going into a healthcare field, the vast majority of people, you know, they just want to help their community. They want people to, you know, have the high health, be able to have good health in their lives, so they can enjoy their lives as well. And that's something that I've always strived to do, you know, is to try and be helpful to those around me, you know, provide services, help people get back on their feet if they're, you know, sick or they have a chronic illness, you know, that way they can be able to cope and have joy in their lives.
Right. What would you say is your favorite part about ISU's program?
As I mentioned before, you know, we're an award-winning program, and it's something that I've definitely developed a passion for with our, what we call our student outreach services. Like I mentioned, you know, we have Generation RX, where we go and teach people about medication abuse. We have Operation Over-the-Counter Medication, where we talk about medication safety for maybe young kids. We go around to elementary schools and talk to them about, you know, like, don't get into your parents' medicine cabinet and drink cold medicine.
Right.
We also do like Operation Diabetes, where we educate people on what diabetes is, do health screenings, Operation Heart for cholesterol. Big push now, obviously, with the pandemic is we have an Operation Immunization. Recently in Pocatello, we had a drive-through flu clinic that we set up there. People could come and get their flu shot in their car, so that way they're safely distanced, easy access. We provided flu shots for free for people who didn't have insurance. And it's something that, you know, looking forward as the COVID vaccines come out, you know, it's something that we can continue to do to provide vaccinations for people. So, you know, we have all of these student outreach operations and services, and it's something where it's nice that we can give back to the community while we continue to develop and hone our skills as pharmacists.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say to students who are like perspiring pharmacists? Like, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them that it's never too late to pursue your dreams. I'm an older student. I didn't start going to college until I was 25. I'm in my mid-30s now. You know, it's something that, you know, if you develop a passion in a certain part of life, doesn't matter what it is, you know, you should go for it full force. If, you know, you're passionate about medicine and, you know, pharmacy, you know, definitely jump in. The profession of pharmacy is changing and evolving. You know, like I said, in Idaho, they're given more authority than anyone else. So, you know, if you want to provide help for people in a changing field, you know, pharmacy is definitely a good way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. How long until you graduate from your doctoral program?
It's a 4-year program. So you do all your prerequisites in undergrad. You're not required to get a bachelor's degree. You just have to get the prerequisites. I did do a bachelor's degree. And then it's a doctoral program. You do 3 years of classroom work and then 1 year of clinical work. So I have a year and a half left, and then I'll be done.
Yeah. What are your plans once you get to that point?
So I want to work in hospital pharmacy as well as academia. I would actually like to teach at a college of pharmacy. So that usually to a hospital or at a school, they require you to do a couple extra years of training called residencies. So I would do a 2 years of residency and hopefully find a career in a hospital and then teach at the same time.
Yeah, what would you have, say, more career advice, like things that other student that students could do with a degree in pharmacy that they might not be aware of?
Yeah, so that's definitely one thing, like my avenue that I want to do. A lot of people, when they hear pharmacist, they think of your local community pharmacist who works at, Brolin's or Walgreens or Walmart. There's an unlimited amount of career opportunities in pharmacy. So anywhere where you see a doctor or a healthcare worker, there's going to be a pharmacist working behind the scenes. So, if you go to a hospital, there's a pharmacist who's in charge of infections. There's a pharmacist who's going to be in charge of heart medication. There's a pharmacist who works in the emergency department. So, if there's something that's really intriguing to you about healthcare, there's going to be a pharmacist that's there, even if you don't see him all the time. Obviously, all careers where you can go into industry, where you can work in developing medications, you can go into teaching, research, pretty much anything that you want in pharmacy, you can definitely find an avenue for that.
Yeah. One thing I thought about is that Idaho fairly recently had passed that Medicaid expansion. And I guess I'm wondering like how much that's also like changed the field here in Idaho.
It's definitely allowed people maybe who were falling through the cracks, with that expansion. It was, geared towards people who, had careers who were making above the minimum to get that Medicaid, but yet weren't making enough to, afford full insurance. So, it's definitely expanded enough, for people who maybe weren't able to go and get their medications or go and see a doctor, so it's allowing people to be able to receive the healthcare services that they need. So obviously, if more people are going to the doctor and more people are getting medications, it's definitely something where, working as a pharmacist, you're going to be a lot more busier because you're taking care of more people. But I find that's, something that's rewarding because that's what we went into the profession for, is to help people.
And I'll say I definitely have experience with that once like Medicaid was expanded. I have a friend who got incredibly sick like in the months like before that, and we had no idea like what he had or anything like that because he just couldn't afford insurance and couldn't afford to like get it checked out at the hospital. And then once Medicaid expansion was passed, he was able to get that and like finally get into like the hospital and get a diagnosis. And it turns out he had ulcerative colitis that whole time. So I will say, like, I don't know, I haven't heard much controversy, honestly, around Medicaid expansion, but I know that it's something that has benefited a lot of people here in Idaho.
Yeah, and there's whenever you're going to do anything, expanding coverage or reducing coverage, no matter what you do in life, there's always going to be somebody who's opposed to that, and it's just something where we try to, explain it the best way we can, especially with like the Medicaid coverage expansion, that we're just trying to help people who need help, who don't have any other means to do so. For example, like I had insurance and then, had lost my job because I was going to school full time, so I couldn't work. And so in order to keep the insurance that I had, it was like $700 a month, to pay for that insurance that I had. So I obviously had to drop it. And it just so happened it coincided right when they expanded Medicaid. So I was able to, switch from this private insurance over to Medicaid. But, if that hadn't expanded, I wouldn't have qualified for Medicaid.
Right.
And it's something that as I want to focus on my studies, so I can't work enough to pay for that private insurance at $700 a month for myself. And so, it's something where I needed insurance. And so I was personally very appreciative that it expanded, and that's where I view that expansion was for, those people who were being lost in the middle ground of income there.
Right. So, I guess to wrap things up, how do you feel about the future of pharmacy here in Idaho going forward?
You know, we have definitely bright prospects here in Idaho. Like I had mentioned, you know, we're the most progressive state. We're trying to set an example for the rest of the country. We've been mentioned in a lot of different articles and publications, especially as this pandemic has raged, you know, of how we're leading the charge in changes that need to happen. And so because of those changes and the fact that Idaho's leading the way, you know, we're definitely allowing it so pharmacy can be able to, you know, expand and help as many people as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Glad that we could talk.
Thank you very much for having me, Logan. I'm glad to come speak with you.
Yeah. And thank you for everyone who tuned in and listened to the show. Stay cool, ISU.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.